Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, finishing up the tight end tiers here. Went through and, you know, spent basically the better part of about a week now kind of reworking them and thinking about them. And I sort of toyed with ideas, and it's been a fun process, but it's good to finally get some of this stuff in here. So similar with the prior tiers, and I'll delve into something that's a little bit might not necessarily sound super intuitive. So I just want to highlight you to a possible some weirdness in the data. I did have a glitch in, I think it was a running back data. I fixed it, so it smoothed it out, and it shouldn't present a problem now. But it shouldn't present a problem. There is a potential for some wonky data. And so, for example, this would be particularly if it's like lopsided or if the profile looks really weird. For example, like if there is a situation where a person hits like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times for a top 24 seasonal finish, but only hits once for a top 12, the priors of which you're going to be using are going to be the, you know, the 6 or 7 top 24, the hit rate on that's pretty low, whereas in comparison to go from 1 to 2 on the top 12 might actually be pretty high. So you might get a situation where it's a little bit disjointed in numbers, and that's popped up like a time or two. Again, these are approximations, and one of the things that you'll see sort of when that happens is I would just say kind of caution, use your judgment, right? So if it looks weird, it's probably weird, right? Sort of adjust it to what the market rate is and look from there, right? They're meant to be guide rails, right? They're meant to be, hey, here's the fundamentals, here's the market, and it's someplace either between them or off of them, but that's kind of what you're looking for. So that if you see a weird number situation pop up, that is the thing to look for. A situation like that actually did present itself with Kelce, whereas he's got a 33% for a top 12 dynamic density and a 50% for a top 6. The sample size is just so small that they're outliers, right? That they're just such small numbers out on that 7 top 12 seasonal finishes from the third round and 6 top six finishes, that you're dealing with like 2 or 3 players, right? That's kind of what we're looking at. And so you'll get a little bit wonky of data at that small sample size. So that's one that, you know, let's use our judgments here. It's much more likely he finishes with 1 top 12 seasonal finish, which the market implied number 78%, compared to 2 top 6 finishes, which is 38.6%. So 38.86%, excuse me. So that's one, that's a situation that you can see, and at tight end, it's especially true where you get these kind of weird, occasional weird numbers at tight end or quarterback, where the sample size is really small, or the far extremes of the production profiles, right? Where you're getting into 6, 7, 8, 9 hits at a running back, for example, it's going to look a little weird just because the sample's super small. So if it's 2 and 3 and then one of the guys just happens to go on, that's kind of what happens. So just be on the alert for that. That does happen a little bit here on some of this data. The other thing with tight ends, we're in sort of a good time, right? So we're pressing the boundaries, right? At with Kelce and Kittle, and some of these guys are really getting to the far ends of historically what you get in terms of reasonable expectations of hits. So from their pedigrees, so you are getting weird looking numbers. So all of those things are true. I would say generally speaking, I think that the density numbers are best for running backs and wide receivers. Why? Well, the sample size is bigger. At quarterback and tight end, they're a little bit different. One thing that I'm going to look for, and I think that this is true at quarterback, I have to sit down, it's going to be a project here over the next week or so, is to do basically independent densities from essentially multiple hits and beyond, right? So basically, once you hit twice, it sort of puts you on a different track, which is go and look at all the guys who have hit twice, and that sort of puts you on a different track. That might be helpful in terms of tight end. It might actually be helpful in terms of quarterback more. Tight end is just really tough, and I'm not even sure how good, you know, if we had the dense numbers, it's just going to be such a different marketplace with guys like Gronkowski and Graham and Witten and Gonzalez and Gates, right? With them all gone, these numbers are going to look a little bit different in terms of hit rates and in terms of base rates and all that stuff, because half of the top 12 seasonal finishes from the past decade aren't there, right? So we're judging it against a different number. So I would say of all of these numbers, I think one of your best bets to move towards is a market number in this one. I think the market number is valuable in all of them, but I think that your best to discount the densities, especially once you get beyond a couple of hits, just because once you push that boundary out a couple, it's just a really low sample size in terms of what we're dealing with at tight end. So that's the caveat aside. So some interesting numbers that I found. So Zach Ertz, the market actually likes him a decent amount. So he's 18. It's an implied 47.8%. So basically a 50-50 coin flip. And I don't think that people are sort of approximating it that way. So that is one where I would say, like, hey, I have done this too. And I've taken a dirt cheap approach to tight end in a couple of spots where I'm just like, I have a problem and I'm going to fix it just by throwing resources at it. And I'm going to throw really cheap resources at it. So it's a throw in a trade. It's a, it's another throw in a trade, right? That's sort of a third round rookie pick valuation. That's sort of what I'm trying to do. And I've done it like two or three times. You know, I'm stacking like Ertz. I think I got Higby. I have Komet, right? I'm just going to just do a volume business and just going to take a lot of different shots, right? If I can get Ebron, more the merrier, right? Just keep doing those things. I actually think in terms of Ertz, when you look at his profile, right, he's going to be 31 years old, round two pick, five hits, four top six finishes. The market gives him about a 48% shot to hit. They give him a 10% shot at two top six seasons. Again, I'd probably take the under on that, but I don't think it's necessarily an unreasonable expectation, especially if he changes teams. Like if he went to Indianapolis, right? That's a situation where you could be like, wow, okay. Again, I'm just speculating here, but in terms of, I think to totally write him off is kind of a fool's errand. We got to keep in mind sort of what the valuation. One player that I would sort of take the over on Ertz on is Gronkowski. And this is one of the interesting ones of what are you shooting for, right? Why is the value difference? Well, it's a four-round difference between Ertz and Gronkowski. I would imagine that wouldn't exist if we knew Gronkowski was coming back. But, you know, when you sort of look at it, if Gronkowski's back, you know, I would say it's a better than 50-50 shot that he, you know, I'd give him a 60-40, 66-33 shot to be a top 12 seasonal finish. You know, and so what's the odds that he plays? Is that 50-50, right? So that kind of puts him about what his number's at, what the market's implying. So I could sort of see where that's coming from. If he plays, I think he moves ahead of Ertz in terms of his implied probability. So just keep an eye on that. He's a 30% implied top 12 seasonal finisher in the next 3 years. So again, it's pretty much this year is what kind of you're thinking of in that arc, which I think is, you know, it's pretty good in terms of his odds. So you think about, you sort of accelerate that over a year, that's, you know, it's 90% is consolidated into one. It's not that high, but yeah, it's an interesting number there for sure. Okay, so looking at some of the other guys, and I've been thinking a lot about this one, is the Darren Waller, George Kittle experience. So you have Darren Waller coming off a tight end two finish. He has basically, they're not that different draft pedigree. Waller's a year younger. They have the same hits, basically, both two top 12 finishes, two top six finishes as well. Waller does have more years of experience, but that was, I don't necessarily get all that worked up about that because he wasn't really playing, right? So, and he's younger. So I'm not sure, you know, I guess I get the case for Kittle over him. It's a lot closer to me than two rounds, or a round, really. It's a round difference. RDP, Kittle, 211, right? And 2.11. And then Darren Waller is 3.2 312, basically 3.12 in terms of RDP. And Kittle's and Kelsey's in between them. So, yeah, I'm not sure with Waller what the difference is there. Again, it's really high. The implied top 12 seasonal finish is about the same. There's a little bit of a gap between the top six seasonal finishes. Again, that drops off quicker. So that's a notable one. And then, yeah, and so I would say the other a couple other ones in here, when you look at, like, Mark Andrews' profile, it's an 80% shot for multiple top six seasonal finishes from here on out, right? That's his top. That's his top six dynamic density, two top sixes. That's 80%. Again, caveat, small sample size. It's a 33% implied by the number. So, and again, there's a two round difference between him and Waller. Andrews is one that's the really high efficiency one. He's really, really interesting. Again, in that same tier is Austin Hooper. So I sort of like that. I like that tier in terms of hitting those guys. And actually, I do think Kittle probably at that cost is a fade. I don't think I would take him because I think you could take other guys in there. I did put him in red. I'm sort of hesitant to do red and green just because it can kind of be overstating it. But that's one of the things that I think when you look at that tier, it's pretty interesting in terms of those profiles. And I'm not sure when you look at Kittle and Andrews, how much different they are, right? I guess Kittle has the ultimate higher upside play because he's a potentially like a lot more targets, I guess. But the flip side of that is Andrews is 3 years younger. So I do think Kittle's one of those situations where you could I'd be fine pivoting to someone else in the tier. Because I think you could get a pretty big plus. You know, it's a three-round difference between him and Andrews. Yeah, I'd take all that. And the numbers, just because it's tight end, isn't that much different in terms of the RDP. Some other things here, just looking down. One thing that jumps out to me is the difference between Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki, which they're basically the same and at the same cost. I'm not sure how you don't take Gesicki over over Hunter Henry. So Gesicki is coming off the better season. He's done two hits in three seasons compared to two hits in five seasons for Hunter Henry. He's ahead of pace by about a year. Henry's behind pace by about a year. They have the same basically market numbers. Yeah, I think it's Gesicki. To me, if I had to choose, it's Gesicki over Henry there for sure. I'm just looking down at some other ones here. I'll say Logan Thomas sort of meshes pretty much with the, you know, he does mesh a little bit with the market number. His density, 50%. The market number, 57%. So you say, okay, only a 15% chance of going multiple top six finishes from here on out. So that's one that we just say, all right, like be cautious on that longevity factor. That's absolutely volume. Right, that's absolutely volume is the one thing that I point out there. At a pretty steep discount, you're getting Tyler Higbee. That's one that's interests me. Dalton Schultz is at 2850 in terms of his RDP, 1905 in terms of his overall redraft position. I mean, that's a smash. And considering that, you know, Blake Jarwin is going like up above him, or was he's going? Yeah, he's Blake Jarwin is going. Basically right around him. Blake Jarwin is 23.5 and Dalton Schultz is 28.5. So again, there's not really a good reason for that, I don't think. So Dalton Schultz is definitely one that has me interested at his cost for sure. Yeah, some other ones here. You know, I've talked about this tier a lot, so I'm not going to sort of harp on it with the Hockenson Fant Goddard tier. I'm not going to sort of hammer on that one. I would just say the Goddard dynamic density is a little curious in terms of I think the market's a little bit higher on his multiple hit rate than his dynamic density is. So just be cautious on that one. The dynamic density really, really likes Ingram's upside. So 38% chance of multiple top six seasonal finishes compared to the market only at 19%. So that's one that I would say, okay, like that's, again, I think that's a reasonable upside bet. Same thing basically with Hayden Hurst. So those guys are being undervalued in terms of that. You know, there is some stickiness, I think, to the first round tight end there. So those would be a couple of guys I would say, all right, I'm kind of interested in at their price. Okay, some other ones here. Irv Smith is one that is it's pretty alarming in terms of base rates versus market. Base rates for Irv Smith, 27.27% in terms of his dynamic density. His implied number by the market over the next 3 years of a top 12 seasonal finish, 62.7. Again, it's basically 2-1 in terms of top six seasonal finish as well. His dynamic density for two top six seasonal finishes, 8.6%. His market implied number, 19.2%. So big difference there. Again, he's a clear avoid at the cost. Jonnu Smith is another one. He's coming off tight end 16 finish. He's going into free agency. That's danger Will Robinson territory. Only 6.25% of guys who have missed through the first 4 years as third round picks crack the line, right? Get inside the top 20, the top 12 at the position. And so it's 6.25. The market implies 56.44. I'll fade that. His dynamic density, 2.1%. The market's 14.58 that's the two top six seasonal finishes. So that's it. Those are both clear avoids to me. Market likes Adam Trautman a fair amount too. That's notable. Actually, the market is underpriced on some of the density stuff on OJ Howard. Again, careful, that small sample size, but that's an interesting one in terms of potential value. Dalton Keene's probably underpriced too. So is Josiah DeGara in that tier. So those are some guys in that tier. That's a tier, right? That's the 1, 2, 3 rounds without a hit. That's a tier at the bottom of it. Like, I would just try and collect a guy because you're probably getting better odds than you're paying. So that would sort of be my thought process in that tier for sure. Okay, and then just running down here, some of the guys with the some of the other density stuff here. Albert Ekwabonam actually surprised me. Both implies 21%, so basically 1 out of 5. So that's an interesting one. Market really likes Harrison Bryant too as well, in terms of 33% implied hit rate, 36% for Blake Jarwin. Again, that seems crazy high. So those guys are avoids for me. Will Disley is one that's interesting in terms of he's a potential monitor guy with Olsen. Not necessarily going to say he's a target. I have him in yellow, so that's one. Anthony Firkster, like quite a bit. He's at 16% in terms of market implied. I'd take the over on that. He's 36 right now, so I'd definitely take the over on that number. Ian Thomas, he's at a 3.7% dynamic density. His implied number is 11.9%. So again, even though he's at tight end 40, like I'd still take the under. Hakeem Butler as well. His number is his number is pretty low. I think we actually still have him as a wide receiver, so that'll probably change here once MFL gets rolled over and fully up to date on the numbers. But those are some of the things that I would look at. Again, Colby Parkinson later on, deeper, he's one that interests me as well. So that is the initial salvo. Again, I have to do quarterback, and that's going to be a pause here for a bit. I have to sort of think about how to do them with the multiple hits. And that's something I'll probably work on here over the next week, assuming that the plague that's going around my family doesn't kill us all. It's not COVID, but the two kids have it, and the wife appears to have it, and they keep coughing on me. So I wanted to get these out, and then that way you have them just in case I can't talk or anything like that. So, but all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.